Today, loggers are obliged to track and collect their lost logs. But besides them, amateur and licensed log salvers chase these escapees, hoping to sell them back. Many of those logs that eventually end up on the shores are quite old. Like the light from distant stars reaching our eyes with delay, these abandoned logs are signals from the past. Tides might occasionally bring a new evidence of the old troubling story. One about the harvestation of local, often ancient forests that have continued here in this region since the 1800s. After slower processes around hand sawing became replaced by the mechanical punctuation of chainsaws, bulldozers, and trucks, it became possible to access almost any forest and break any of its natural cycles. This patchy deforestation had a big impact on the local ecosystem, such as the growing number of floods. In those deforested regions, snow is more exposed to the sun. It melts much faster than in the woods. Since the regrowth of trees and the recovery of forests are slow by nature, the reverberations of these new rhythms are going to be long-lasting. While ambling on a beach among those no longer drifting logs, I examine the traces left by chainsaws and other machines that knocked those trees down. Despite being silent, they seem strangely audible. While all frequencies travel in the air at the same speed, some seem to stay around, resonate in one's ears longer than the others, as if ghosts dispossessed of their bodies, displaced, wounded. Eternally restless. But like sap that the trees release to slowly heal their wounds, nature generates counter-rhythms through which it attempts to rectify those mechanically imposed by humans. Will the floods caused by the deforestation rescue some of its victims stuck at the rafts down at the bay? Will they turn them into driftwood and then nurse logs for other species?
His regular presence in the intertidal zone begins to draw the attention of its other residents. They do not oppose his being there, but even seem to be willing to naturalize him as a member of their transient habitat, or even as a habitat itself. Barnacles begin to grow shells directly on his skin. There are only a couple at the beginning, but their number grows rapidly. When high tide comes in, He instinctively submerges his lumpy body in the water, letting barnacles seek their meal and engage in mating. They swipe their fan-like feet, and while collecting their food, simultaneously clean the water from the overgrowth of plankton and algal bloom. As long as they're back at high tide, they don't care what places he would, in the meantime, drag them along to. When the tide withdraws, they seal their shells off, freeze their activities, and patiently wait for another cycle. These regular submergences in the slack water begin to transform not only his skin, but also his senses. With every visit, the underwater landscapes and their sounds feel more familiar, while the ones above, alien. Any foreign items that the sea disposes of in here, plastic bags, tin cans, fragments of a fishing line, face masks, and hypodermic needles, he instantaneously detects as if equipped with some additional layer of senses. His echolocation skills are much different than those of other oceanic species. While the strange noises pollute the ocean from the fringes of their intertidal zones to their deepest cavities, they also confuse his perception of the environment. However, in the constant sounds and vibrations that reach his ears and body, he begins to detect echoes of the past. They enable him to locate his presence and that of his environment on a much longer axis. This gift of hybrid echolocation partly derives from where he came from, the realm where linear time has long dominated cyclical time. But this expanded skill has its cost. The exposure to noises in which his body and mind cannot but recognize the past often disorients him. It complicates his ability to be at peace and adhere to the tidal cycles. He begins to aimlessly wander along the shores, slowly dragging his body. By now, it has almost entirely lost its human shape and become like a rock bearing a clear imprint of diverse zones and ecosystems created and supplied by the tides. One day, amid the strange noises, he hears a new sound. What has at last reached his ears is the echo of his home collapsing. But in his transformed hearing, the sounds no longer signify only a loss. Curious, he returns to the ruins and settles in the rubble. It's hard to distinguish the difference, as the remains of his house, just like his own body, are almost equally inhabited by intertidal species. Disrupted by the rhythms of his fellow humans, not finding any way to fully inhabit the intertidal zone, he metamorphoses into a room, an element of the environment, a new beginning of a habitat to be composed by the persistently uncivilized cycles of lunisolar variations.